Now we begin the English language transmission from Pyongyang, the capital of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Seeing the barracks as nice as a rest home, best internal facilities with all fixtures and barrack precincts kept as neat as a park, Kim Jong-il expressed great satisfaction over the excellent living and training conditions provided for the servicemen, saying the service personnel of the Korean People's Army are precious Sungun revolutionary comrades defending the party and revolution, the country and people with arms. He stressed that all commanding officers shall take warm care of the soldiers with paternal affection so that they shall not feel any inconvenience. Then Kim Jong-il saw servicemen of the unit under training. Seeing their valorous training, he expressed great satisfaction over the fact that all servicemen have grown to be a match for 100 warriors, firmly prepared politically and ideologically and in military technique to firmly defend the socialist fatherland and put forward the tasks to increase the combat efficiency of the unit in every way. Noting that all the service persons have grown into those with strong ideology and faith, who have kept the spirit of resolute defense of the leader, the rifle and bomb spirit and self-blasting spirit as immutable faith, he added that our revolutionary cause is invincible, as such matchless elite army is defending the defense line of the country impregnably. Kim Jong-il posed for a photograph together with the servicemen of the unit, expressing the belief that they would demonstrate the honor of life guardsmen in the sacred struggle for national defense.
The great leader Kim Jong-il was presented with a floral basket by the Secretary General of the International Institute of the Chuchi Idea and his party. The floral basket was handed to an official concerned by Secretary General Genisi Owami on a visit to the DPRK on Monday.
The Russian newspaper Veteran No. 40 carried a special article under title "A Gate Open to the Future," on the occasion of the 18th anniversary of the appointment of the great leader Kim Jong-il as Supreme Commander of the Korean People's Army, saying the successful launch of the artificial Earth satellite Kwangmyongsung 2 in April 2009 was a great event which demonstrated the might of Korea and evoked the world's admiration, the article went on. Today, the Korean people are faced with a task to build an economic power correspondent to the position of political and ideological power and military power. The validity of self-reliance based on scientific and technical successes has already been proved in practice as a Korean mode of economic construction. The Korean people have turned out as one in the general drive to open the gate to a thriving country in 2012 with general mobilization of mental power. Leader Kim Jong-il is leading the general drive and continuing his energetic field guidance. Under his wise leadership, the Korean people are accelerating economic construction, braving all difficulties with indomitable spiritual strength, and opening a bright heyday in the scientific, technical, and cultural fields.
The delegation of the Chinese Foreign Languages Publishing Administration placed a bouquet before the bronze statue of the great leader Kim Il-sung on Mansu Hill in Pyongyang and paid homage to him on the 9th. The delegation had arrived in Pyongyang by air on the same day.
Report of the Supreme Command of the Korean People's Army. The South Korean Army committed a grave armed provocation in the waters of the North Side on the West Sea of Korea on Tuesday. That day, the North Side urgently sent a patrol boat of the Navy of the Korean People's Army on a routine guard duty so as to confirm an unidentified target which had intruded into the territorial waters of the North Side. At around 11:20, when the patrol boat was returning after confirmation of the target, a group of warships of the South Korean Army followed it and fired. The patrol boat of the Navy of the Korean People's Army, fully ready for action at all times, immediately dealt a surprise counterblow at those who committed grave provocation. The frightened South Korean warships hurriedly fled to the waters of their side. The South Korean military authorities must apologize to the North Side for the recent armed provocation and take responsible measures to prevent a recurrence of such provocation in the future. Pyongyang, November 10th, Juche 98 or 2009. Successes are being expanded in land development, pushed forward on a mass movement in South Hamgyong Province of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Tantan City, Jeonggyun County, Rewon County, and other cities and counties in the province have built several bridges, expanded passes, built and repaired river embankments, and dredged river beds during the autumn general mobilization for land development. Changjin, Busan, and Toksan counties gathered several tons of tree seeds on a mass movement.
Performances of the company service persons who participated in the 33rd Art Festival of the Service Persons of the Korean People's Army and the art schools of the employees of the February 8th Vinland Complex and the Hungnam Fertilizer Complex are given in Pyongyang with large attendance, evoking great sensation. The People's Palace of Culture, the venue of the performances, was packed with the audience on the 9th. The performances were appreciated by creators, artists, reporters, and editors in the field of culture and art and the press in Pyongyang. The service persons and art squad members put on the stage a chorus, far off frontline soldiers say good morning to him, a reed flute ensemble, the general star beyond the clouds, a drum beating and song, let's honor socialism on Sungun Street, a band music, storm towards a thriving country, and other items. The audience was greatly moved by the inspiring and exciting excellent art performance of the Revolutionary Army and the art performance of the employees of the complexes, a model of the noble new culture of the working class of the Sungun era based on the revolutionary servicemen's culture.
The DPRK circus feats, double trapeze flight, and plastic balance were awarded the highest gold lion prizes at the 12th Wuchao International Circus Festival held in Hubei Province, China, between October the 31st and November the 8th. The festival was attended by famous circus organizations and acrobats from 22 countries and regions, including the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, China, Russia, and Canada. The acrobats competed in 32 items for three festivals' highest gold lion prizes. The acrobats of the Pyongyang Circus perfectly performed the latest technical feats in the festival, bagging two highest prizes. Han Eun-chul, Kim Myung-jin, Bang Mi-jin, and other acrobats of the double trapeze flight performed excellent difficult techniques, such as a long distance flight with four forward somersaults and two backward somersaults with three cartwheels. Park Sung-hee and Shin Chul-jin, performers of the plastic balance, gripped the hearts of the jury and audience with their graceful movements and excellent skills on the ground and in the air. At the awarding ceremony held on the evening of the 8th, the TPK circus feats, double trapeze flight and plastic balance were awarded the highest gold lion prizes as they specially decorated the stage of the International Circus Festival while evoking the admiration of the experts and audience with extraordinary skills and artistry during the festival.
The Korean Documentary and Science Film Studio is making innovations in the production of science film with a new great revolution glasses. This year too, the studio has produced thousands of science films, including the ultra-high power electric arc furnace, the crystallization of industry, and the natural flow waterworks, and contributed to the wider dissemination of new technological successes.
Some time ago, the waterworks project has been conducted in Hunan County, North Hunan Province, to supply quality spring water to the residents in the community. Different parts of Korea greatly benefit from the growth of the waterworks project, which have been completed in recent years. Some city of Yangnam Province, the Western city, is a city of North Korean Province, and the city and district county of South Korea, and the Sungnam County of Chang'an Province, are supplying clean water to the residents in cities and county towns. The greatly fed waterworks system is economically profitable, as it saves a lot of electric power and money for the year.
The DPRK to India on the 6th of November. General Secretary
It was to turn up the revolutionary army, an athletic meet unprecedented in the history of war. Even our underground operatives came out on that day to enjoy the meet. The soldiers of Van's battalion were delighted by the unique festival. The people who had been so depressed by the atrocities in Should I Go were again in high spirits thanks to the Dana festival. The joint athletic meet clearly demonstrated our consistent stand and will at home and abroad that we are always ready to establish friendly relations with an army that did not harm the people irrespective of the army's name and affiliation. In Taipingo, we held a meeting of military and political cadres who were higher than the company political instructor and mapped out a detailed plan of the battle at Lo Wuxian. Then we held a ceremonial memorial service for those killed in Should I Go. The service became an excellent forum for inciting the officers and men of the Revolutionary Army to revenge the enemy. I think it was mid-June 1935 when we finished off the Hongshi Tower at Lo Wuxian. Hongshi Tower is a nickname that the people in Manchuria had given to the Jing'an Army soldiers, apparently because of their recklessly wearing red armbands on their sleeves. Our soldiers had lured the enemy out of one by one, then in a very clear way. The Jing'an Army unit stationed in one by one, Lo Wuxian, was the same unit that had doubled our steps during our first expedition to North Manchuria and a group of savages who had committed the atrocities at Should I Go. At first, we provoked a fight with them by dispatching a small unit, but they were keen enough to notice that our unit had come. They could not be provoked readily. The villagers told me that the Jing'an Army soldiers would be going out to mop up the guerrilla army on in winter and would avoid engagements with the Revolutionary Army in summer, if possible, striking out only at mountain rebels and bandits. We had to draw them out of their den in order to attack them. Therefore, we decided to use the alluring tactic. We withdrew our forces to Lujigo in broad daylight so that the enemy could see the movement and believe that we had withdrawn somewhere else. That night, we moved the unit back secretly and lay in ambush in the forest near Wang Bao Wan, where the Jing'an Army unit was stationed. Then we disguised 10 soldiers who spoke Chinese as mountain rebels and sent them to Wang Bao Wan. They made a great fuss, grabbing donkeys from the villagers, trampling on their furniture and ripping off the fences of their vegetable gardens before returning to the unit. But the Jing'an Army soldiers did not fall into a trap on the first day for some unknown reason. Though uncomfortable, we had a sample dinner of some dry rations at our position and spent a tedious night irritated by the mosquitoes. I had heard Guiran Yin saying that when she had tilled the land at the foot of Mount Baekdu with Zhang Chulhu, she had weeded the potato fields with a bunch of moxa on her head because of the irritating mosquitoes, but the gnats in Lo Wuxian were just as bad. The soldiers slept at their chicks and nibs, complaining that a gnat in Lo Wuxian took after the Hongshi Tower and was stinging them poisonously. On the next day, the decoying group went down to the village in Wang Bao Wen and behaved like mountain rebels. They caught a few chickens in a somewhat well-to-do house and pretended to take flight. Only then did the Jing'an Army soldiers begin to chase them en masse. Apparently, the villagers had raised a big fuss that day that the mountain rebels had again been in the village. The Jing'an Army soldiers were quite well versed in the tactics of the guerrilla army. They even knew how guerrillas waylaid convoys and attacked the walled towns. To deceive them was as difficult as belling the cat. Surely, our decoy had acted out the hooliganism of the mountain rebels to a T. What I still cannot forget among the episodes related with this battle is that Kim Tae-kun's wife shook me awake as I was dozing from fatigue while in ambush on the second day. She and her husband had taken great care to nurse me in the Shilaping Valley during some painful days of fever. She had played the role of my aide-de-camp, so to speak. At that time, she had picked a broad-leaved grass and asked me what it was called, saying that it looked tasty. It was aster. I told her to call it Bear Aster, since it grew in a place where there were many bears. After liberation, on my visit to Dehongdan, I ate that same Bear Aster. The enemy, who had come within the area where the Revolutionary Army was lying in ambush, gazed anxiously from side to side, saying, "It would be terrible to be surrounded in this place." When the enemy were all in the mountain valley, I fired a shot signaling the start of battle. I aimed at the Japanese instructor, and he fell at the first shot. They didn't put up any resistance worth mentioning before being subdued. The agitators of the guerrilla army shouted to the enemy in Chinese to surrender before they offered any resistance, relying on the natural conditions. "Down with Japanese imperialism and lay down your guns and we'll be saved." The enemy soldiers gave up and laid down their arms. The battle at Lao Shan was the first typical allurement and ambush battle we had fought. Since that time, the Japanese and Tibetan Manchukuo armies had begun to call this tactic of ours netting the fish. You've just heard a fourth installment of Section 4, an answer to the atrocities at Shidaigyo, of Chapter 10 with a conviction of independence from the great leader President Kim Il-sung's reminiscences with the century. This is Voice of Korea.
The history of the anti-Japanese armed struggle organized and led by great President Kim Il-sung includes a page on the battle to defend the Xiaowangqing guerrilla base called Operation Martin. The indomitable spiritual strength displayed by the anti-Japanese guerrilla army and the people in the guerrilla base in the do-or-die battle forcefully inspires the Korean people in their struggle to build a great, prosperous, and powerful nation today. We now present an account, Spirit of Guerrilla Zone is Immortal. In November 1933, the Japanese imperialists launched winter punitive operations from guerrilla zones with the mobilization of huge troops. Especially, they directed a spearhead of attack on the Xiaowangqing guerrilla zone with the headquarters of the Korean Revolution and sieged the Xiaowangqing in three directions in combined operations of infantry, artillery, and air force. At the time, the guerrilla force in Xiaowangqing was only two companies. If the guerrilla army had avoided the battle, the Japanese imperialists might have swallowed up all guerrilla zones on the shore of the River Tuman, and many people who had lived happily under the benefits of the People's Revolutionary Government might have been killed by the Japanese imperialists. President Kim Il-sung roused all people in the guerrilla base to a decisive battle against the enemy. While commanding an all-out defense, he put the enemy in the passive with ever-changing tactics such as allurement and ambush, sniping and assault on the enemy's billeting area. Meanwhile, the people in the guerrilla base firmly rallied around him, fought at the risk of their lives to defend the base, pelting the enemy with bombs and stones. The Japanese imperialists suffered repeated defeats in the battle, which lasted for several days. They planned a long fight with the intent to freeze and starve to death those in the guerrilla zone which could not be supplied with persons, weapons, and food. To cope with it, President Kim Il-sung organized two detachments and let one stay in the guerrilla zone for defense, and the other to attack the enemy in the rear. Attacking the front and rear, the Japanese imperialists had to leave the fish and run off. The victory was won, and the Xiaowangqing guerrilla base was filled with joy of happiness again. Among the people in the gorilla zone, there were old people who said they were rebuilding their houses for the 70th time since they came into the zone. In his reminiscences, President Kim Il-sung remembered with deep emotion that the victory of Operation Martin was a collective demonstration of the spirit of gorilla zone, and that the spirit made it possible to defend every inch of Xiaowangqing at the cost of blood, with the indestructible strength which could not be conquered even with planes and guns. The spirit of gorilla zone was an indomitable fighting spirit with which they did not hesitate in any adversity, a spirit of unity with which the army and the people fought in unity under the peaceful conditions, and the bond of them to the spirit, turning the situation favorably with actual fighters which passed the defense. They too, the Korean people, win a great victory in the general advance of the kingdom of a prosperous socialist nation and the right leadership of respected kings and leaders, frustrating the movements of their enemies to isolate and suffocate them, even in one of his spiritual strength, the people in the gorilla base destroyed in their days. The wonderful gifts of humankind are speaking highly of President Kim Il-sung of the eternal form of mankind, to fulfill its noble aspirin to the concept of labor and paradise. The Buddhist Yakuyama, a representative member of the Japanese King of the Million Love Association, said,
This is my 15th visit to Korea. I had the honor to dine with President Kim Il-sung.
You're a great man.
President Kim Il-sung is the benefactor who liberated the country with his devotion to the people. He's a great man who waged an unremitting struggle only for the people, not for himself. Such a great man will not be found elsewhere in the world.
After visiting the Kumsitan Memorial Palace, the Shikan Temple of Chuseo, where the great person Kim Il-sung is leading to, international control women, Bolivian Alexandre Guerrero, King of the Sofia Open Theatre by the real king.
Then, I visited the Kumsitan Memorial Palace and saw President Kim Il-sung.
I live in Kumsitan all my life.
South Korea is a district in the Korean history between the early 10th century and the late 14th century. The mausoleum of Kim Il-sung is the symphony of Kim Dong-un, the 31st chief of the Korea dynasty, and his king. The mausoleum of Kim Dong-un, built in 1355 and 1372, is in Hakdong City in the middle of Korea. The mausoleum, covering a wide area, has several square pillars, some portraits, and three chairs. It is orderly and majestic. The dome of the mausoleum is about 6.5 meters high and 13.7 meters across. The mausoleum in the hall of the system, where the king and queen lie side by side, has various square pieces and good energy, and then there is a stone up the gallery. It is surrounded by those cabinet floor chairs. The same chairs are not in the hills of some animals, including mouse, hound, dragon, rabbit, dragon, and snake, which are further streets of terrain. The mausoleum is surrounded by a golden circular stone parapet with 1.2 meter wide passage in between. Surrounded with stones are four portions and the chief officers. The 4.3 meter high features of civil and military officers are the compound of the mausoleum. They show their features naturally. The features of military officers in armor are standing formally and completely, one with a hand on the chest, another one sitting there a little apart with a hand on the foot upon the ground.
The fish is delicately representing even the group of
We now bring you an account, 64th anniversary of World Youth Day. Dear listeners, November the 10th is World Youth Day. The Korean young people extend warm congratulations and militant greetings to the world progressive young people on the significant occasion of World Youth Day. 64 years ago, in 1945, the World Federation of Democratic Youth was founded at the World Youth Conference held in London, Britain. The World Progressive Youth are significantly commemorating the founding anniversary of the Federation as World Youth Day every year. The World Federation of Democratic Youth is an international united organization of the World Democratic Youth. Its principle and purpose are to strengthen unity of young people in the struggle against imperialism and colonialism, to defend global peace and democracy, and to struggle for national independence and social progress and for their better future. The Kim Il-sung Socialist Youth League of Korea joined the World Federation of Democratic Youth on June 24, 1946, as the Democratic Youth League of North Korea. Since then, it has positively participated in the activities of the Federation and made a great contribution to preserving the anti-imperialist character of the Federation and to strengthening unity with the world youth and students. Especially the 13th World Festival of Youth and Students, distinctively held in Pyongyang, the capital of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, was a grand festival unprecedented in the history of festival. It is still kept in the minds of the young people of the five continents as an unfading memory. The World Federation of Democratic Youth highly estimates the position and role of the Kim Il-sung Socialist Youth League of Korea in the Federation and the World Progressive Youth Movement, and it pins the great hope on its activities in the strengthening and development of the Federation. In Korea, where the idea of the Workers' Party of Korea on attaching importance to youth is being realized, the young people always take the lead in national defense and the difficult work for building a great, prosperous and powerful socialist nation, and creditably perform their mission and duty as the vanguard and shock brigade in different places. Today, many monumental edifices are being built in different parts of Korea, and a lot of scientific and technical success is achieved, demonstrating the dignity and spirit of the country and nation all over the world. All these are unthinkable apart from the immortal spiritual strength, fighting will and heroic struggle of the Korean young people, who are intensely loyal to the call of the party and leader, and of the fatherland and people. The World Federation of Democratic Youth sends constant support and encouragement to the Korean young people in their struggle to build a great, prosperous and powerful socialist nation and reunify the country. The Kim Il-sung Socialist Youth League and young people of Korea will in the future too advance in firm unity with the world progressive youth in the struggle for a beautiful future. You've been listening to an account, 64th anniversary of World Youth Day. This is Voice of Korea.
Dear listeners, with this we conclude English language service of Voice of Korea from the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Voice of Korea presents its English language service for Europe between 13 and 14 hours UTC, between 15 and 16 hours UTC, between 18 and 19 hours UTC, and between 21 and 22 hours UTC on 7,570 kHz and 12,015 kHz. For North America, between 13 and 14 hours UTC, and between 15 and 16 hours UTC on 9,335 kHz and 11,710 kHz. And for Northeast Asia, between 1 and 2 hours UTC, and between 3 and 4 hours UTC on 7,140 kHz, 9,345 kHz, and 9,730 kHz. Goodbye, this is Pyongyang.